Tonight, we're going to change gears. For the last about 6 weeks, we've been talking about ministry and our call to be ministers, not as a pastor, but to reconcile the ministry of reconciliation. And we kind of did it backwards. What should come next is our mission in life. And our mission in life is to win somebody to the Lord. But we've done that several months ago, so I'm not going to do that again right now. So the last step in this whole series is called Discovering the Pursuit of Holiness. Now let's start with the scripture. And it says that Genesis chapter 1, the first four verses, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness." They're up here, Brother Al. You got another one, Leo? Another sheet? Come on and just move up here. Now, as we've read the first four verses of the Bible, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and God said, let there be light, and he separated light from darkness. So here in the creation, God defined light and God defined darkness, and he separated light from darkness. Now, evidently before that, I don't know what was there, but God made light possible and God made darkness possible. While not the first usage of the word holy, and again, this study today is discovering the pursuit of holiness. In Leviticus 20 and 7, we find the same type of separation when God said, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." Now, much like defining light and darkness, by defining holy, what did God made possible? What was it that God made possible by saying, "I am holy, this is holy"? Unholy, exactly. This is the very first separation. Just as God separated light from darkness, he separated holiness from unholiness. Now, another important concept that we have to know about God is God does not change. Right? Malachi 3 and 6. "I am the Lord, and I don't change." So the pursuit of holiness is simply to attempt through the Spirit to take on some of the achievable characteristics of God. Not simply to be closer to God than the world. Now, I came across this very interesting diagram. It was at our men's conference. Brother Aber drew this, and I asked him if I could use this because I thought it's absolutely awesome example. So on page one, you got this wonderful diagram. Can anybody explain that to me? What's what it's talking about here? God never changes, right? Malachi 3 and 6. You got the believer and the world. Now, if you don't realize this, the world has not always been as wicked as it is today. Okay, things are getting worse. So as the world gets worse, some people's view of the church is that the church needs to be just a little bit better than the world. Okay? But look at the chart. What happens if you try to maintain a safe distance from the world? Well, maybe in about 5 years, you're further away from God. And in 5 years, you're where the world used to be. And God's not changed. So in essence, if you have that type of worldview, what happens is you become farther and farther and farther from the world. The world gets worse. The church gets worse. Even though you try to maintain a safe distance from the world. And we see this evidenced today, for example, in the decline of some church groups here in the United States. 30 years ago, things were, let's say 60. Let's say when I was from 1950, 1960. Okay, so 50, 60 years now. You find things that were absolutely not permissible then in the church world being permissible now. Well, what changed? God didn't change. And I made a comment to somebody about, I thought you were against this. And they told me, well, the world is changing. Well, the world is changing, but God doesn't change. God doesn't. So that's an awesome example here. You know, a lot of people, and I don't think I've done a real good job of it, so I'm going to try to do a real good job of it here over the next 6 or 8 weeks, talking about these things and our relationship with God. I had somebody talk to me just last week that they didn't understand, you know, why we do certain things, and, you know, and I was a little bit disappointed, so I had this planned already. That's not the reason that we're starting on this. This was in the plan, the works 6 months ago, but we've just gotten there. But I'm going to do my best to answer the whys. Now, let's go to page number 2. Now, holiness itself is not achievable without the Spirit of God. It's important that a person be filled with the Holy Ghost. Actually, to be born again. Not only to be filled with the Spirit, but to be baptized in His name, filled with the Spirit, born anew, becoming a babe in Christ. And we can only become holy through divine assistance. You can read scriptures like Isaiah chapter 61, where the Lord said, all your righteousness is as filthy rags. So without divine assistance, we cannot hope to be holy. Sanctification, which is separation and the making holy, begins with the hearing of the gospel, continues through faith, repentance, water baptism, but is accomplished primarily when a person is filled with the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 from the Amplified Version says, who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father, and consecrated. And if you'll notice, I've been using the Amplified a lot, and it has a lot of little brackets and curlicues here. And those are the words that are added by the translators. So to make it a little bit simpler, on most of them at least, I've made those black and the Word of the Lord red. So who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father, consecrated, they were sanctified and made holy. How? By the Spirit. To do what? To be obedient to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be given to you in increasing abundance. That spiritual peace to be realized in and through Christ, freedom from fear, agitating passions, and moral conflicts. So this shows us that the sanctification, and we have other scriptures, now that you're washed, now are you sanctified, now are you justified, come through the Spirit. And in this covenant, and you know we're in a covenant with the Lord, you do realize that, right? Can anybody tell me what the covenant we're in now is? Grace. And the Lord lays out a specific way of being in covenant with Him. And our specific way of being in covenant with the Lord starts out with what? Being born again. And living for Him, walking with Him. That continues the covenant. Starts with believing. Continues to having faith. You understand that unless a person first believes, they can't even have faith. So a person has to first come to the believing in Jesus Christ. Then they can have faith. Once they have faith, then they can obey the word. Once they obey the word, then they can be born again. And they continue in his word. They continue to walk with the Lord. So that's the covenant. But in our covenant, the laws of God are not written on tables of stone. That does not mean that God has no laws. Excuse me, I've got to shut this crazy thing off. Telemarketers, you got to love it. Doesn't mean that God has no laws. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. And you really don't find Jesus writing commandments down. There are some that are in there. But a lot of them he writes in our heart. He gives us convictions. We have a conscience that's very pronounced. You ever felt that conscience? You're going to do something. You know you ought not to do it. And then you feel this, that I shouldn't be doing this. You feel bad about it. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of the Lord. So it does not mean that God has no laws. For God has always had laws, even in the Garden of Eden. Now, I want you to try to understand what's happening here. Here we have Genesis 4, 4 through 7. Here we have the beginning with Cain and Abel. And everybody knows that Cain murdered Abel, right? So it says, the Lord had respect and regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no respect or regard. So Cain was exceedingly angry and indignant, and he looked sad and depressed. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why do you look sad and depressed and dejected? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. What do you notice about this? God rejected Cain's offering, and he accepted Abel's offering. What is it that it doesn't really glare out at you, but it speaks to you here? Anybody? Cain knew what to do. Now, we don't find it written. Okay, so we don't see the record there. But apparently, Cain knew that God required a different offering than what he offered. I preached a message on this when my mother-in-law died, the day after we had a revival service, and I preached a message called The Religion of Cain. This is the first example of somebody that said, I know what God wants, but I'm going to give God what I want and not what he wants. So in essence, Cain started the first religion besides serving the Lord. So that's what I titled that message, A Religion of Cain. Maybe one of these days I'll preach it here. Now, the implication here is that Cain knew what to do, even though it wasn't written in the Bible, but evidently the Lord told Cain and Cain knew. And what does it mean? What it means today is today God chooses to write his laws in our hearts through faith by the Holy Ghost. And you can read a couple of those scriptures. I'm just going to choose Hebrews 10, 15 through 17. And also the Holy Spirit adds his testimony to us in confirmation of this, for having said, this is the agreement, the testament, the covenant that I will set up and conclude with them after those days, says the Lord. I will imprint my law where? On paper? No, on their hearts. And I will inscribe them on their minds, on their innermost thoughts and understanding. He then goes on to say, and their sins and their law breaking I will remember no more. Because of this we understand all Holy Ghost-filled people who allow themselves to be led by the Spirit have the laws of God written in their hearts. Now, I kind of run that together as I was putting together. So that should be in a paragraph there. Because of what the Scripture says now, we understand that all Holy Ghost people, Holy Ghost filled people, allow themselves to be led. Do you know that some Holy Ghost filled people don't allow themselves to be led of God? You do understand that, right? Not everybody that says, I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. The Holy Ghost doesn't have all of them. Right? And you can find that even working in your own life if you allow it. You might have the Holy Ghost, but does the Holy Ghost have you? It's a great thought, isn't it? It's a great thought. But it does mean that we can be led by the Spirit, led by that consciousness of the Spirit, and the impressions and the convictions of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's be honest here tonight. How many of you have had God impress on you a conviction and you refuse to hear the Lord? Everybody. Everybody. So we're all subject to that. Does it mean it's right? No, it doesn't mean it's right. But because of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, we have a fundamental basis of holiness already resident in us. This does not mean, however, that we do not need to be taught. Because teaching brings to light things that we may not think about. Somebody commented to me about the series we've been going through on ministry, and they told me, I had no idea all this stuff. I just had no idea about all of this. So as we go through these teachings, it's not meant to offend anybody. If you heard me when I was preaching Sunday, I said there's two things that makes people mad. One is preaching on tithing. The second one is preaching on holiness. Right? Diesel's laughing. There's two ways to make people mad. So we're not going to really preach on holiness. I'm just going to try to teach it. And you may still make somebody upset. They'll live, I suppose. I've got big shoulders. So we are born again how? Biblically. Biblically, we're born again as babes in Christ, right? Just like little Kaylee. How do you think Kaylee would... Now, my daughter's teaching Kaylee pretty good. You know, what would you think if Kaylee was never taught? She might learn some things on her own, right? But how much better is it for Kaylee to be taught? Well, it's the same thing with the church, really. I'm the pastor. I am not Father God. I'm sort of the spiritual father of the church. It's my responsibility to bring up people in the ways of the Lord. Now, what have you ever seen kids that don't want to be taught? Yeah, you got them. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's, and they end up making some desperate mistakes in life. Right? So we don't want to be like that. We want to hear what the Word of the Lord says, and we want the Holy Ghost to be our conscience. Right? So think about that. We do need to be taught. We're born again as babes in Christ, but in order to grow, we need to be fed by the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first two verses. However, brethren, I could not talk to you as spiritual, but as non-spiritual, men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates. Now he's talking to who? Brethren. Well, you would think that all the brethren, all the sisters, they're all spiritual. No. People are at different levels in their walk with the Lord. This is why, generally speaking, we don't teach holiness principles to people that are new in the faith. Because it is what we call spiritual meat. And if you try to... If now Kaylee's starting to eat a little bit of meat now. I think, isn't she just a little bit? Off and on. But she, if you gave her a big steak, she'd choke on it, right? Yeah, so, you know, you do things little by little. He said, I fed you as to mere infants in the new life in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not yet strong enough. But even now, you're still not strong enough. So you had some folks in the Corinthian church that were carnal. So you still have that today. And because of the way the world is getting worse, and sometimes the church follows the world, they're just a little bit better. And, you know, then a lot of the complaints that I hear, and I don't really hear this from our church, but I've heard this from other places, and they'll say, well, I don't want to hear about standards. Well, did you know everybody has standards? Okay, let's see. Let me think of a good example. Rod. If I was to say, come on, Rod, let's go out to McDonald's, would you want to go with me? Yes. You would. But you wouldn't want to eat the food. No, you told me you only like Haitian food because they cook the best. Make it in that instance. Okay, let's do another one. Hey, Becky, you remember that first car I bought you? The one that was just a training car? If I went and bought you that same car today, would you drive that? No. Why? Because you got standards and you're not going to go less than that. It was an old, what was it, a Dodge Reliant, Plymouth Reliant, that's what it was. And it wasn't very reliant. Boy, that was something else. But it was all I could afford at the time, so I did the best I could. But she's not going to drive that car today because she's got her, what do you have, a Mazda? She's got a CS9 that's an SUV. And Daisel, if you saw this car, you wouldn't drive it either. So, because you've got your, what do you have? You have a Toyota Highlander, right? No? CRV. Oh, you got a CRV? You traded it in, got a CRV? Man, I've had the same car for almost 10 years now. You guys have traded. How many cars have you had since I got the Honda Civic? You're on two or three now. But you got standards. Everybody has standards. Some people's standards are lower than others. That's what it is. You know, somebody would say, you would say, will you go to a prostitute? No, I would never do that. To somebody that says, I would go to a prostitute, but I wouldn't go to no crackhead prostitute. So they all have standards of some type or another. And I hope no man does that. I'm just using that as an example. I hope every man here is of the upper caliber, says, I'm not going to do that. Yes, Rod?
The good example is company. Each one of them has certain rules that they want to follow.
Right. Right. So God has some reasons, though. He wants us to have holiness in our life. And here they are. Let's give you a few of them, and maybe some that I didn't think about. A is to experience God's best. How many of you want your children to do meth? You ever see what happens when people do meth? They feel like there's bugs under their skin. I did a little studying on this. And they pick at their skin and they get scabs all over the place. And their teeth start bucking and their teeth come out. You seen that? Yeah. It's terrible. Now they got alligator. No, crocodile. It comes from Russia, I think. Crocodile. And it turns your skin into like crocodile skin. Really, really horrible stuff. Now, how many of you want your kids to do crocodile or do meth? None of us. Why? Because we want what's best for them. Well, when we talk about holiness, God wants what's best for us. And He knows what's best for us. Think about Galatians 5:19. 21. And this is the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the flesh, works of the flesh from the Message Bible. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Well, that's a good one, isn't it? Magic show religion. There's a little bit of magic show religion that goes on today. Paranoid loneliness. I'm all alone because nobody loves me. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants. You ever notice that? You buy something, you think, well, if I just have this one thing, it'll really help me, and you find out it don't make you happy at all. That's the works of the flesh. Brutal temper. Not just a temper. Brutal temper. Like, we went to McDonald's this morning down in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And they had a bus come in before us, and they gave us our number, and they said, we'll call your number. Well, we waited about 10 minutes. They never called our number, and they said, well, we called your number an hour ago, and it's all your fault, and blah, 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 blah. And then they got my order wrong, so I went back, and I said, you didn't put the right order in, and they're just about yelling at me. So I had a guy, he says, you know what? He says, I'm from Brooklyn. He said, if they did that to me, I'd jump over the counter and I'd take them by the throat. He says, you're awful nice. I said, that's because I'm from Jersey. But a brutal temper. That's a temper, right? I was a little aggravated, but I wasn't going to let it show. Yes, Rod?
I hope that my,
yeah, people got temper in your neighborhood too, so... An impotence to love or to be loved, divided homes, divided lives, small-minded, lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everything into a rival, uncontrolling and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of communities. I could go on. This isn't the first time I've warned you. You know, if you use your freedom this way, the Apostle Paul said, all things are lawful for me to do, but not everything I should do. Right? Not everything's expedient for me to do. Some things are going to drag down your walk with God. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. This is what our lives end up looking like when we go our own way, selfishly pursuing what we want. It's obviously we don't know what is best sometimes. You ever find yourself doing some of the things in there? That's the works of the flesh. Second, B, to identify ourselves with God. Holiness is a way to identify with God. God is holy. We are to show forth His attributes to become more like Him. Let's face it, we'll never be able with the nostril of God to part the Red Sea, like the Scripture says. But there are other attributes that we can embody, and they are those attributes that were in Jesus Christ. If we're devoted to Him, why don't we want to identify with Him? If we're ashamed of Him, He will be ashamed of us. Isn't that what the Bible says? Absolutely. Like marrying somebody and then never wanting anyone to meet them or be family because we don't want to be like them. It won't work. I remember, my wife probably won't listen to CD and she can't hear me back there, but my wife had a boyfriend. Before she met me, she actually had a boyfriend. And she was so hurt, he wouldn't hold her hand in public. And I remember him coming to talk to her after we got married. And she was pretty insulted by that. And then just a couple of years ago, he tries to chat her up on Facebook. And I said, don't you remember, this is a guy never even wanted to hold your hand in public. Right? Like marrying somebody never wants anybody to meet them or be in the family because we don't want to be like them. Doesn't work. You go ahead and try to be ashamed of somebody that you're hanging out with. The Lord wants us to be proud that we are children of God. Amen? Amen. C, to bring glory to God. Holiness brings glory to God. It keeps us from striving to exalt ourselves and getting caught in a system that is detrimental to us. One of the things that I don't think anybody likes is somebody that blows. blows their own horn. You know what I'm talking about? Look what I did. Look, I cook better than everybody else. You can't cook as good as me. Name your thing. You ever met somebody like that, Miriam? What you do is never good enough. But boy, what they do, now that's really good. And generally speaking, people don't like people like that. So, but it keeps us from striving to exalt ourselves. It's contrary to the world system and proves that it's only by the Lord that good things come about. He brings things to fruition in unorthodox ways as far as this world is concerned, and it gives glory only to Him. I will tell you that as far as ministry, I have had people tell me that I would never be successful in ministry. And when we started this church, I asked God, I said, why am I doing this? And He said, so I can get the glory. Which is not a real nice thing for God to say to me. Because He was saying, nobody thinks you can do anything, but the church comes into existence, they're going to know it's God. And that's okay. I don't mind that. D, to remind us of God. It keeps landmarks and guidelines in our lives to remind us of our purpose and what is the priority. There are guardrails to keep us from derailing. Amen. Joseph and Moses had some of those. You could talk about guardrails on roads. You ever drive in the Philippines? They got any of those mountain roads? They got like in Mexico and stuff. They're so crazy. You're driving, you fall off the cliff, and everybody dies. They got any of those in the Philippines? Yeah. Well, the United States, you don't have any of those. They got guardrails all over the place, so you don't fall over the edge. Well, sometimes holiness, God provides some guardrails, some let's do this, let's don't do this, to keep us from falling off the cliff, so to speak. Flesh is going to constantly war against the Spirit, and if we don't have guidelines to keep us focused and pointed in the right direction, we will very likely get off course. Because what's the problem? We all get carnal, don't we? Right, we all get carnal, so... Hebrews 12:14. Now, one thing that I don't like, what does the scripture tell us? It says, follow holiness without no which no man shall see the Lord, right? Most of the times people leave out the peace part. There's two things that we need to follow, peace and holiness. We do not need to have a warring spirit except warring against the devil. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now I'm going to present to you on the last page something that I can just about guarantee that you never thought of. Isn't it nice to find something that you didn't think of? Now the word holy, the word holiness is kodesh. And that's the sacred place with God. Here, if you look at the word kodesh here, it means a sacred place or thing and sanctity. Sanctity. And kodesh or holy, holiness, not only infers the sacredness of God, He would be, in essence, the thing God is holy, but also the sanctity of being. Now, If I went over and raped and murdered Miriam, would I be holy? No. Would I have any sanctity of self, sanctity of being before God? No, absolutely not. So holiness can also give us that sanctity of being and that feeling of being right with God. It also infers, if you look at that first part, we talked about the sacred thing, the sanctity, and a sacred place. This is the part I don't think you thought about. We often understand holiness as only in a negative sense of separation or apartness. I'm different, especially for our ladies. I'm different than these ladies. I'm apart. I'm different. And somewhat with the men too. I mean, they're trying to talk men into wearing mantyhose now. And they have makeup for men. Ain't going to happen with this guy. They're now making dresses for men. Ain't going to happen with this guy. Forget it. But more and more I see some guys dressing like when I was a kid, Mike, some of these guys dressing when you were a kid, you'd look at them and be like, what is your problem? Right? So there's a separation coming for the men too. But holiness also imparts a sense of withdrawal back into a sacred place. And we are to attempt to withdraw back into the original state that man had with God. You don't get that feeling of state by the example I use, raping and murdering. Now, that's an extreme example, right? I used a shocking example. But there are some examples that can be a little closer, a little closer, a little closer that will actually keep you away from the Lord too. Doesn't the Bible say lay aside the weights and the sins? Well, most of us know. Well, sometimes people don't even know what sin is today because nothing is wrong. But a weight is something that just drags down your walk with God. Rod?
We're talking about holiness for men. And I would say one of the holiness things that I try to do is doing, and I would say my job is expecting men who are in our job who are liable to get some type of form of tattoo. And they were asking me, how come I don't have anything?
Oh yeah. Well, the Bible tells us not to mark our flesh. Yeah. No. Oh, I know. This is what you're seeing. See, that diagram that we had where it says now the world is getting worse and the church is trying to stay a little better. Well, just don't get a devil tattoo. Just get a tattoo of an angel. You see what I'm saying there? But it's still farther away from God. That and I really enjoyed that thing there. That right. Right, well, we went to see Moses yesterday down in Lancaster, and there was a girl that came in with short shorts, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. They have no understanding anymore, or it's either that or rebellion. They have no understanding of there's a right and wrong, there's a moral and there's an immoral. They understand. They understand. And this is why that as the pastor, I have to try to attempt at least to teach these things. Now, this session will end up being in our listing there, and I'll put this teaching up there. Maybe it will help somebody. You'd be surprised of people that I have had contact me that say they are listening to the preaching. We had a family here Sunday. You know why they came? Because they've been listening to the preaching. So it works. It really, really works. So we want to attempt to withdraw back into that original state that man had with God. And while we'll never be able to get there 100%, holiness helps us to have that peace of mind, that sanctity of life, feeling like we're in the presence of the Lord somewhat at least. And when the New Testament writer refers to holiness, he frequently goes back to the original. For example, 1 Timothy 2:13, he says, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And both the Apostle Peter and Paul went back to the original creation, and by doing so, they substantiated the need for our withdrawing and desiring to attain the very first position, or as close as it can be at least, because you're never going to get that very first position. Because we've been exposed to sin from youth, right? So, but we can make a choice to separate ourselves from that. And God will show you these things little by little. And from our chart, we understand that just because society in its morals and conduct has changed does not mean God has changed, because God never changes. What God said in the Ten Commandments was wrong is still wrong today, for example. So holiness is a way for us to restore relationship to God with purity. Now, think about it in this sense here in James 4, 8 through 10. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. Doesn't the scripture say, it says, mortify, put to death the deeds of the flesh. Right? Put to death. So cleanse your hands. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. We humble ourselves by walking in His ways and not the ways of the world. We cleanse ourselves from the sins of this world. It's possible to get the Holy Ghost and get born again and not know that some things that you're doing are wrong. So you have to cleanse your hands. And God will show you as you go along. He's going to show you thing after thing as you go along. Holiness is really a response to the Spirit of God in your life. And it becomes a problem when God begins to show you things and you say, I don't want to separate myself from whatever it is that you want me to do, Lord. Then you have a problem with God. Then you have to deal with the Lord. And look at the second scripture, 1 Corinthians 16:29. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering. Come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, I added in the blue there, in the beauty of being in a sacred place, separated from the world, in a special place with the Lord. And you're going to find, as you read this in the Amplified, in some of the upcoming lessons, you're going to be shocked in what it says there. So think about that. When we bring holiness into our life, we bring a sacred place of relationship with God that we can have. Amen? Now, I hope this has been all right tonight. If it's not, then I guess we'll be okay anyhow. Let me wave at my wife. Wife. She's not seeing me. Rod, would you run back there and tell her to come on out here? I don't have the... I get tired of holding the microphone sometimes when I'm doing this. So, like I said, that's why I've got this here. And worked very well at the men's conference. So I'll take this, turn it into a CD. And then... works very, very well. So let's all stand and let's just gather around the front. We're going to sing a song, talk to the Lord. Amen. I want to be holy, holy like You. Let's just take a few minutes and let's just get our minds on the Lord. I want to be holy, holy like You. Want to be holy, holy like You. Holy Spirit, purify me, make my heart brand new. I want to be holy, holy like You. Want to be holy, holy like You. Be holy, holy like You. Holy Spirit, purify me, make my heart brand new. I want to be holy,
holy like you. Wanna be holy, holy.